and welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker.
And I'm Tony Flynn. We are here introducing Season 8, Episode 8, called History Was Way Back Then.
Yep, it was. I mean, the truth of the matter is that you're already listening to this in the past.
History has nothing to do with today. I think that's the core lesson of today's episode, isn't it?
And of course, George Santayana was the one who famously said, if we cannot learn from history, or we're doomed to repeat it. But that's a problem for people who can't read. I don't know how else they're going to learn
about history.
They'll
never get the message unless they listen to Men in Charge.
No, that's right.
That doesn't mean that Men in Charge is a show for non-readers, but it's one that encourages you to read about things that are finished.
Yeah, and if you're a non-reader, then why not listen anyway? You've got nothing better to do.
We accommodate non-reader and reader listeners.
We like the illiterate.
Yeah.
So maybe we should talk about the historically flavored
Right.
episodes for today.
With that ripe, dusty sense on the tongue of history.
Of books being devoured by worms.
Yeah, or simply because it wasn't on acid-free paper. The first segment coming up is the 10th in the recurring series, Heaving Bosoms.
That's right.
The narrative and meta-narrative drawn from the late 19th century Yorkshire, Oxfordshire,
we're not sure,
in England. It's out on the moors. It has to do with the Ridgely family.
It's just a bit smutty, but we think you'll like it.
But it's clean and wholesome smut.
Clean and wholesome
smut.
Just
as you remembered when you were a kid.
That's right.
In this particular episode, Grantley Ridgely decided to send himself to a monastery, leaving it in the marginally competent hands of his rakish younger brother, Bentley, and the new milkmaid.
Helga von Strichter, who
will
introduce some discipline, I think, into the household.
Yeah, she understands the Germanic force of her name. And what's coming up after that, Kevin?
After that, we'll reach back into perhaps your own personal past with a new episode of What's New With You with Roger Basement. And the discussion topic is a new camp, Camp Broccoli, that is there to help you with your post-traumatic stress disorder experiences from camp when you were young.
If you went to camp and you had a wretched time, this segment on Camp Broccoli explains why and how those vile memories of camp can be purged from you.
If you had a good time, then this is probably a good time to activate the air pop popcorn machine and just come back in about 5 minutes.
Or stay and listen and be glad that nothing described there ever happened to you.
What happens after Camp Broccoli, Tony?
Well, after Camp Broccoli comes a visit to a salmon dairy. You know how radioactive waste has altered the DNA and the body chemistry of a lot of fish.
Yeah.
Now, because of this report, we've discovered that salmon offer more than their own flesh for human consumption.
That's right. And it may be a better deal to just keep them in those small, scummy green ponds for their milk. Farmer Coors is our tour guide to an actual salmon dairy. He explains the difficulties with milking these little guys.
It's harder than it sounds to milk a salmon.
And very young children have to be used during 12-hour to 16-hour shift.
And they're from the Lower Heights Child Labor Force camp, these children, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are.
And what's after salmon dairy, Kevin?
After that, we have the talk show that has the highest quotient of bitterness and recrimination in it. It's a hard row to hoe with child actor, all grown up now, Nicholas Rowe. And I believe today Nicholas is actually interviewing another filmmaker, Miriam Van Blunt, about her CGI epic Planet of the Kiwis.
Yeah. And if you think that's a reference to Planet of the Apes, you're pretty quick on the uptake.
You are. That's pretty good.
We like that about you, listener.
Yeah, you're clever. Yeah.
So you may have that urge to blog. And Kevin, what's our message to those who want to blog about Men in Charge?
Well, please make sure that you send a copy of the URL to your blog to https://socks.gov!
Yeah, but there are also in that URL three backspaces put in at random.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, good luck.
Greetings, listener. I'm Emma Whitbread, Lower Heights Public Radio cultural affairs announcer. You have tuned in just in time to witness the writing of the 10th episode of our stirring romance drama, Heaving Bosoms. Join us as we listen in on Madge Mudd as she pens the latest twists and turns in the lives of the many characters that inhabit the North Yorkshire moors at the end of the 19th century.
Aren't you the perky one today, Emma? And I didn't see you or your pet chicken at the Dewdrop Inn last night.
Just doing my job and then going home, Madge.
But that's the point, Emma. You haven't been doing a proper job. Even the chicken has stopped laying. And I have some ideas about what happens to hens who don't lay eggs.
If you must know, Madge, the entire hen house had a sit-down with me and my hen.
An intervention? I didn't know chickens did interventions.
I must say, they can be quite persuasive. Constance and I have turned over a new leaf.
You name that chicken Constance?
She insisted on Constance.
Of course she did, Emma. Maybe it's time we moved on to our story at Ridgely Manor. Let's see. Lord Ridgely is about to join a monastery. His younger brother, Bentley, will be running the estate with the help of a third brother, Wesley, who is home from serving in the Royal Navy. The old crone has become the housekeeper, Coachman Coors is the steward, and Gwyneth is the head housemaid.
Wait, no music for us? Madge, I want some nice music after my name, too. No wonder my sister Elspeth ran away with the dairymaid. I think music after our names is not too much to ask.
Now, Gwyneth.
Ooh, don't now Gwyneth me. You said you were fairy godmothers, but there have been no three wishes, no special music, just some dumb chicken noises.
Constance is a very intelligent chicken. And besides, it's time for you to get to work. I believe that Madge has sent a visitor your way.
Greetings, good sir. May I be of assistance?
Gwyneth, do you not remember me? True, I left for the sea at just 13.
Why, it's Wesley. How you have grown since we were playfellows here at the manor. You are come home at last. So you shall be caring for the manor with Bentley
and I suppose Bentley has not changed. His tastes are...
as they were, sir. But I am not one of his...
Of course you're not, Gwyneth.
Gwyneth? Who's that at the door? Why, Wesley, brother, I see you have already enjoyed the view.
Bentley, stop!
I meant the parapets, of course.
I'm sure I am needed elsewhere.
Enough about fine architecture. It's good that you're here, because our first managerial duty is before us, brother. It's time to find a new dairymaid. I mean to do a thorough examination of each prospect.
I'm sure that each and every cow will be appreciative of your care, Bentley.
Careful attention to animal husbandry is a must. Skill in the making of cheese and a firm hand with the churning are essential.
Architecture? Cattle management? Butter churning? Is there no end to your tawdry metaphors?
Wesley, I mean no harm. I'm a man of boundless affection for that most charming of genders. The new dairymaid and her barnyard chargers. Are they not important members of our household, providing us with the most wholesome of substances?
Bentley, your innocence underwhelms.
Just think of the gentle bovine, her generosity and her lushness.
Madge, this is public radio. It's time to make Bentley stop. He has gone entirely too far. Clearly, he needs someone to keep him in check.
Our first candidate. And you are?
Helga von Strichter. I am the new dairymaid.
You are? But I thought we were interviewing each...
Nein. I took a walk through the farmyard. This is a good place. I take it. The other maids, I told them to leave. My luggage is in the room already.
So strong. So forceful. So...
Yeah. Well, we talk later. Now is milking time.
Madge, you've really outdone yourself this time. Wesley, the long-lost brother, Helga von Strichter, the dairymaid? Bentley is going to have his hands full. Well, listener, that's all the time we have today for this episode of Heaving Bosoms. Tune in next time when we hear Constance the Chicken claim that we ate her AA sponsor for Sunday dinner. And we hear Bentley say,
"Dear Helga, I seem to have acquired a fondness for exotic cheeses."
Hello, I'm Roger Basement, winner of 16 baritone awards in my rich fantasy life. Well, while we don't normally broadcast mental health service announcements on Men in Charge, here is one we just couldn't seem to pass up. For this important announcement, we turn to Marlo Dampnoise, acrobat and mental health professional. So tell me, Marlo, what's this new service?
My new service is a chance, more like an opportunity, to heal oneself from SCT, summer camp trauma.
But I loved summer camp.
Nobody loves summer camp. You're in denial. Summer camp is where someone puts you down with an insult that makes you cringe to this very day. And when you finally think of an eviscerating response, it's about 16 years too late.
Well,
what about the time your camp counselor borrowed your Walkman and completely ran down the batteries and wouldn't chip in a cent to replace them, and then tied you to a tree when you asked again?
Walkman?
Or what about the time you were the only kid in camp to entirely miss the archery target each and every shot for the entire week? When your youngest sister always got bullseyes every time? And she insists on telling that very same story at every single Thanksgiving since 1977?
I loved camp. Actually, I had a blast.
I'll guarantee you have blocked the painful memories. Everyone has many lingering or debilitating summer camp horror stories. I certainly do. And I'm here to tell you that relief is on the way. First, there's the guilt people still have over what they ate at camp. Too many red vines, too many s'mores, warm root beer, cold hot dogs. Well, some of those intestinal issues haven't fully resolved themselves, I'm guessing. Well, they certainly haven't in my own case, I can tell you.
Not following this. All I remember is the swimming.
Yeah, swimmer's ear, sinus troubles, the drowning.
Drowning? Wait, you didn't drown.
But I wanted to. Oh, enough. Let's look to how we make it all go away. The shame of sailing disasters, those humiliating campfire skits, and that stupid lanyard that not even your mom would wear. It's time to let all that camp trauma go, right?
Well, I don't know. I never really thought about it like that. Camp was never that big a deal at all.
Well, like I've been saying, it's time for amends. At Camp Broccoli, scorned and scarred survivors of summer camps everywhere can finally stand up and stare down what went wrong way back then. Stay committed about riding the ship, or, actually, the kayak, the canoe, the whatever, making things right again.
You've lost me.
Getting lost, that's another one. But I digress. For any week between July 1st and July 16th next year, you or your loved ones can sign up at Camp Broccoli for any number of self-healing, id-centered, ego-boosting, carbon- and gender-neutral dance sessions, book signings, or Chautauqua-style outdoor picnics. We got a full-body permafrost yoga immersion TED Talk, a no-regrets potluck buffet scavenger hunt, and a how-to-finally-make-a-decent-lanyard 30-minute PowerPoint presentation, all included with your tuition.
Camp Broccoli. Sounds like a boot camp.
More of a reboot camp. We're scheduling breakout sessions with topics such as sheet metal tent camping, tips and challenges, and cooking with sticks. And one I'll be leading up in the crafts lodge called Sculpting with Pasta.
Boy, you've got some issues camp-wise, don't you?
I'm just a foot soldier in a bigger war. In week two, we've even got a guest speaker talking about treatment strategies for treehouse paralysis. That one's already sold out.
And so, I see...
There's going to be food pyramid posters and T-shirts for sale everywhere, a first aid float for the big parade, plenty of guitars and sing-alongs, two provisionally certified lifeguards, free blankets and matches, lyric sheets for campfires, and free lanyard retraining. Oh, it's going to be a blast, and everyone should make significant progress.
From
SCT, Summer Camp Trauma. What do you think? Should I sign you up?
I don't know. I still remember the good times, the joking around, the jello fights, sunsets over the lake.
Well, not everyone had sunsets over the lake, believe me. I was a mess from the time I got back from camp until my, well, I still wake up from my swamp canoe dream every few nights.
Swamped canoe dreams?
Plus all those dreams about wet sleeping bags and the poison ivy rashes. With enough therapy and DDT...
Wait, therapy may solve the wet sleeping bag issue, but DDT won't solve the poison ivy problem.
Ah, you're right. You're right, we're going to have to bring in some napalm. Napalm will do it. No more foliage, no more insect life. Heck, no more canoes either.
Well, look at the old clock on the wall. Time to hit the ground running. Make plans to visit Camp Broccoli next summer. It's never too late for a song around the campfire, is it?
Forget the campfires. I want flamethrowers.
And there you go, I guess. Let's just remember the fine times at the lake. I think I can hear the dinner bell now.
And flash grenades, RPGs, and tanks. My sister will be singing a different tune when I show up in an Abrams tank for Thanksgiving.
Greetings, listener. I'm Greta Wolkenstein-Gomez, documentary filmmaker. Today we're here to talk about milk. No, not the milk of human kindness. We all know that milk has no place in the new Vichy America. Instead, I am talking about the milk that we drink. How you say, the goat milk. I am here with dairy farmer Coors, and I investigate his claims that he is the owner of one of the finest dairies in the nation.
Oh, thank you there, Greta. Hey, today we're here to get to the bottom of milk. There's been plenty of people talking up these different milks. You got your almond milk, your oat milk, hemp milk, rice milk.
Farmer Coors, we get the idea.
Soy milk, coconut milk. Milk of magnesia.
That is a lot of milk.
When you think about it, you got your goat's milk, your sheep's milk, fermented mare's milk.
Perhaps we could move on, Farmer Coors. As an award-winning milk producer, you have some strong opinions about the makeup of your milking operation.
That's right, Greta. Now, some folks, the purists, think that the only real milk comes from mammals. But that kind of thinking just holds us back from enjoying the most delicious milk there is.
That is quite an interesting proposition, Farmer Coors. Now, you have one of the largest dairies in the U.S. Perhaps you could tell our listeners a little bit about it. In fact, I am confused. Where are the cows?
Cows? Everybody knows that cattle are not a sustainable resource. We need to think outside the corral, as it were. Instead, I'm talking about salmon milking.
Salmon milking?
That's right, Greta. See those big ponds over there? Why, I got 500 head of prime dairy salmon.
You milked the fish?
I am, but only the females, of course. Most people don't know that they have little tiny udders back by those back fins of theirs.
Fish with udders? This can't be true.
It's a new development. Just started back in the 90s when we found our foundation stack downstream from the Lower Heights nuclear reactor outflow. Under the right atmospheric conditions, those first fish glowed in the dark. Made them pretty easy to find. We started out selling the little ones as nightlights. Of course, we didn't discover the udders until later. That's when the salmon dairy industry started their selective breeding operation, and a few seasons later, my farm really started to take off.
Salmon, they are powerful swimmers. How is it that they stay in these small ponds?
Well, most of them have at least two or three heads. That slows them down enough so that they like the ponds. Easier to milk that way, too.
And they get milked by hand?
That's right, Greta. It takes a delicate touch and very small fingers. I mostly hire first graders from the Lower Heights Child Labor Force camp. By third grade, the kids just get too big. Of course, it helps if they already know how to swim.
There are no child labor laws in this country?
Well, we do it after school. They get their swimming merit badges after just a few months. And it's a win-win operation. The milk is delicious. Here, try some.
This milk, it is safe to drink?
That lime green glow lets you know the milk is extra fresh. And for a really healthy treat, try it with some Cool Ranch Doritos. Now you're living large.
That's all the time we have today, listener. Tune in next time when we hear Farmer Coors say,
if I could figure out how to make those little saddles stay on the trout, branding time would go a lot faster.
Hey, listener. Have you ever been blacklisted from having a cushy job in Hollywood? Are you a noble quitter? Do people cross the street when they recognize you in a crowd? Join your host, former child prodigy actor Nicholas Rowe, because, as he constantly reminds us, life's a hard road to hoe.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Nicholas Rowe. Welcome to another A Hard Row to Hoe. Who is our guest today? I am the Sky announcer.
It's auteur director Miriam von Blunt.
Why is her applause louder and more resonant than mine?
Well, it's nice to see you too, Nikki. How's it hanging?
Miriam von Blunt, I'll thank you to watch your mode of expression. Remember, this is my show, and I believe that there are a number of sad child actors who are a part of my audience.
Well, it's great to be here.
Valiant child and teen actors who, like me, Nicholas Rowe, may have celebrated the birth of their big screen career in the limelight of a starring role, Nicholas Rowe as Sherlock Holmes in Young Sherlock Holmes.
I'd like to talk about my new film.
What's that?
My new film? The reason I was booked on this show?
Oh, well, fine. What's it called?
Planet of the Kiwis.
Is this a documentary about fruit?
No. And it's not about New Zealanders either. Damn their effortlessly good-natured social solidarity. The idea, I think, behind Planet of the Kiwis is brilliant. It's a shot-for-shot remake of the 1968 cinematic classic Planet of the Apes, but with kiwis instead.
But kiwis, the New Zealand native bird, are about the size of a domestic chicken. How do you produce, well, I don't know what to call it, how do you call out pathos in an artist like a kiwi?
That's the brilliant part. We're using cutting-edge computer-generated imagery to make the human-sized kiwi as lifelike as possible. As the press release, which I wrote, puts it, they are, in fact, the future mutational form of today's kiwi bird, but living with their own society in a post-apocalyptic world of the future.
Do you have a clip from said film with you for us to show?
Absolutely. We went all the way to Zuma Beach in Malibu, one of the original filming sites for Apes, to capture the climactic final moments of the confrontation between human brain and kiwi brawn.
And this was a shot-for-shot remake, you said?
Yeah. Can we roll it?
I'll ask them to roll it. Donna! Or Alicia, I forget. Roll the clip.
What did you think?
What were those kiwis doing?
They were holding guns and threatening Taylor, our human lead, played by Jake, I never turned down a role, Gyllenhaal. Since kiwis don't have functional arms and hands, even in the future of post-radioactive mutation, they kind of have to balance on one leg while aiming the rifle with the other. But they're so bottom-heavy, you can't really see what's going on. That's the hyperrealism of this level of CGI.
Is it?
It is. Now, what other questions do you want to ask me about Planet of the Kiwis?
Actually, yes. Are you familiar with the CGI technique of recreating the faces of famous stars who've passed beyond this mortal coil, or, what is even worse, who have aged in immodest ways?
You mean like they did for Jeff Bridges in Tron Legacy and Carrie Fisher in Star Wars Rogue One?
Precisely. My understanding is that the technique can take years off an actor's visage, while at the same time incorporating their unique facial tics and, of course, their voice recorded off stage.
Yes, but I'm not sure why you're so interested. We didn't use that technique on Planet of the Kiwis.
Well, here is the latest version of my script entitled Young Sherlock Holmes 2 Mechanical Moriarty.
My agent warned me about this. Look, I don't know Steven Spielberg or Barry Levinson or anybody who made Young Sherlock Holmes.
Which I, as a child actor, starred in, yes. I was thinking we could cast a young impresario as young Sherlock Holmes in the sequel, perhaps one of the Jonas Brothers, but then who knows the character better than I?
I'm not sure what you're driving at.
Just this. Through the miracle of CGI facial replication, we'll make old, bitter Nicholas Rowe into youthful, vibrant Sherlock Holmes. And I'll need Christoph Waltz for Moriarty.
Again, I was warned that this would come up. Hey, announcer, any help here?
And that's all the time we have for A Hard Row to Hoe with Nicholas Rowe. Tune in next time for more Hollywood-inspired bitterness and recrimination. And don't forget to tune in to some of Men in Charge's other intriguing talk shows, like Disgruntled Belgian Talk Radio with Didier Von Dodge, What's New With You with host Roger Basement, and every weekday between 6:12 and 6:14 p.m., the Lower Heights Radio Arts and Business Team with Stephanie Gardenplaster.
One final thing. I've just done a dramatic reading of Umberto Eco's The Name of the Rose for Audible. Not just anyone could achieve the correct pronunciation in all those languages he uses. That is the benefit of a British-style private education at a British public school. Buy the audiobook. Read it.
Kevin was reluctant, so I'm going to thank our cast. But first, this episode was written by Scott Herrick, Ann Porter, and Kevin Decker. I lay down on the couch and dozed for this episode. The cast members include Tony Flynn, Kevin Decker, Nisha Schramm, Ann Porter, Nancy Roth, Davis Hill, Liz Rognes, Jody Stewart-Strobelt, and Maureen Hager.
And we'd also like to thank The Bad Plus for our theme song, 7-Minute Mind. We hope you like the Season 8 remix, if you even noticed it at all. We'd also like to thank the three who rule, Vern Wyndham, Carrie Boyce, Nisha Schramm, and the man whose summer camp for hedgehogs business has just dropped its initial public offering, Brian Lindsay.